Welcome to the British Tech Network, and it's the Mac Show with me, Ewan Rankin. Oh God, I've missed you all. I've remembered being here, but I've missed it terribly. Joining me to discuss the week in Apple, not that there's been an awful lot, but we'll make something out of it. Fantastic group. First off, the man who is the ultimate super sub, the man off the bench who changed the game, Mr. Jeff Gamet.
Oh, I assumed you're about to introduce Cal, but
no,
it's well, great been, to see you.
Cal's been nearly as lax as I have from what I've heard.
Yeah, that's true.
I hope he's got a note from his mom.
I hope so. Seriously, it's great to see you.
No, good to see you, mate. You been well?
Been well, and just doing my best to hold down the fort while you've been lounging on your yacht.
Thanks, man. I really haven't. A, no yachts, B, no lounging.
I always ask, like, where, like, in Birmingham, where would you put your yacht?
Oh, no, there's like marinas around here, but they're usually like old holdout quarries and stuff like that that have got, you know, all okay. Lakes that are around, but there's no waterways as such.
Without sounding like the cliche Brummie, we've got more canals than Venice. So.
Absolutely, we have more parks than New York and something else as well. More rats than New York and all.
You just wouldn't want to go to any of them.
Well, no, true. Oh no, that's not true. Actually, they're quite pleasant. Certain parts,
no, they are. To be fair.
Cannon Hill Park's gorgeous. So you've got a theatre in the middle of it, hasn't it? So there you go, Birmingham in a nutshell. The other thing as well is that you know, Patrice is going, where's the yacht in Birmingham? Well, of course, a canal barge is a Birmingham yacht, effectively.
A Birmingham yacht.
All right, okay.
A canal barge, and for those of the Americans listening, the canal barge is like the barges that they have in New York that carry all the trash out. But it's not. It's nicer. There's obviously below decks and stuff like that. And they're really, there's people
the
that
fancy
live
trash.
On them. Yeah, yeah. There's a place. There's Gas Street Basin, and there's loads of them all moored up there, and people live on them. That's their mm-hmm. Their mooring for the
yeah.
For
but they're whenever. Tiny.
Yeah, well, they're not big. We can get some quite big ones. They'd be the size of a small apartment. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, in square footage.
It's actually went in one. Someone we know brought one, and I went in, and you could. I was really surprised how nice it was inside.
Yeah.
They were really, really good.
Yeah. Yeah. I know someone in London. She lives there on a boat, like on one of those little canal boats.
Oh, but if you go to some of the boats that are run down on the North Bank and the South Bank, down by the Tate and that kind of stuff, there's some proper houseboats there that are houses that just happen to float.
Hers isn't, like, it's one of those little canal boats, but she redid it, and it's really nice. Like, for one person, it's plenty of space. Gets a little cold in the winter, but it's fine.
This week in barges is continuing. Muller's putting in costs. Apparently, a barge will cost you around 90 grand, and it's £1,200 per year to keep it on the canal. And then you've got services to pay for, and electric and hookups and all that kind of stuff. So it's not a cheap pastime, he says. Thank you, Muller. Zip your Anna, go on the way out. Chuck, how are you, mate?
I'm great, Ewan. It's good to have you and Cal back. We've missed you.
Well, I missed you too. I keep looking over there and the camera's in the middle, so it doesn't work. And I can't cut away either, so I'm going to forget and I'm going to pick my nose when I think I'm off camera and I'm not. What you been up to?
Just trying to stay out of trouble, you know, showing up here to support Jeff in his efforts to keep the Mac shows going and, you know, just doing what we do.
Hitting any golf balls?
Oh, yeah. Time has come. In fact, I ordered a brand new 2-iron just for you.
Oh, a 2-iron. Still not a full man, but yeah, you're getting there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Progression. Wait till you order the one. Next to him, Cal. Where have you been, dude?
Been fixing lots and lots of Macs.
That's good.
Yeah, it's been a crazy few weeks for us. So I think I mentioned the last show I was on. We've moved office, so we've gone to still in the same building but bigger premises, and we've also merged with another Mac repair business as well. So we're just absolutely hectic for the past few weeks. So Try to come on every week, and then it's always been a fairly last minute I just can't. There's too much on. So,
I'm Min-Max. We've got so the questions now are going to be: can you name the five people at I'm Min-Max for the competition?
Six.
You
need six now. People. Six
and you
people.
You need to add in Will Woodhouse, and who's the sixth person?
David Yates.
David Yates. There we go.
And it's David. I've been told as well. He doesn't do Dave. It's David. So.
David, right? Okay, that was a telling off by the sounds of it. At some point,
a couple of gentle reminders, yeah.
That's okay.
So he's your posh employee.
You'll have to ask him.
I used to get this at school, mate. It's just like, no, it's not Wanker, it's Ewan.
Okay. We haven't quite got that far yet. Yeah. We're still in the polite getting to know you stage. So we haven't quite got that far yet.
You've got to do the Charles Handy storming, forming, and performing. There you go.
All of those things.
You got all the bits where you're nice and touchy feely now. Then you're going to go into a bit where you hate each other and you're constantly arguing, and then eventually that gets ironed out and you sail. That's it. You're off and running. It'll come. And last but by no means least, Patrice, how you doing, Mrs.?
I'm doing well. I'm in the middle of those like infamous short weeks in the German-speaking countries. There was a public holiday this week. There's another one next week, Thursday, and then Friday is another bridging day.
Yep.
So nobody's working. Like nothing gets done.
Austro-German bridging day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nothing gets done. Like it's. I mean, the reality is, since the weeks are short, everything gets crammed. Like 5 days get crammed into three.
Yeah,
so that's unfortunately how it really works. But yeah, it's nice. I mean, I actually took Friday off next week, so I have a long weekend for the shows.
Good.
Nice. Well,
so you moved offices as well, haven't you? Out to Edgbaston.
Yeah, so we've got our offices where we've always had our offices, bigger ones, and we've also got a store in Harborne as well now. So nice. Yeah. Just an awful lot of stuff going on, which is great.
Were you able to move out of the storage closet now?
Well, we've got another cupboard. It's a bigger cupboard. So.
Bigger cupboard. Going up in the world, mate.
It's a posh cupboard. So
nice. Yeah. Don't let David in there.
Are you in it at the moment?
No, I'm at home at the moment, which is...
Oh, I was going to say, the acoustics are pretty good, so...
Yeah. I'll have to do it from here every week then.
Yeah, no. The week in Apple, all that's gone on, there's not a huge amount to talk about because there's not been enough on that. The one thing that has happened in the last few weeks is I've bought a Mac Mini. I bought an M1 Mac Mini, 8 cores, 16 gig of RAM. I did up the RAM because I didn't want to get the basic one and then regret that I didn't do it. Oh my frigging God. What a machine. I haven't listened to last week's show. Did you talk about it at all?
About your machine? No. We talked about the iMacs, though.
So I did, so there was the new iMacs right, and I was umming and ahhing whether to get an iMac or not. And then I went for the Mac Mini, and it is 5 times faster than my 8-core Xeon 6.5 grand Mac Pro. It is ridiculously fast. I set up 2 pieces of video to crunch, and it was going down from 1080 to 720. So rescaling video like that's, you know, not a tough task, but it's not an easy task. And it was an hour and 45 minutes of video that it was rescaling. And I made the mistake of doing the Mac Mini first, and it was 8 minutes. I'm like, right, okay, so this is going to be probably, you know, sort of 12, 15 minutes maybe on the other one, because I do expect it to be faster. It was 45 minutes on the Mac Pro. Wow. It was just unbelievably fast. It is such a machine. I cannot get over how fast it is. It is worth every penny. And the one thing I wanted to say was that we've always given Apple a bag of crap over their costs and saying, you know, high-end machine is really too expensive. But actually now what you've got is an incredibly high machine that's reasonably priced. It's £1,200.
And those aren't the lower-tiered consumer-grade machines. Those aren't even the pro machines yet.
No, exactly. I mean, I've got a computer that is as fast as I could possibly want for what I do, and it's cost me 1,200 quid as opposed to 6,500, which is what I paid in 2015, 2014.
Yeah, I mean, the base level model now is faster than a six-year-old top-of-the-line machine.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that's the other thing as well, is that this Mac Mini is probably faster than Ellis's. If I benchmarked it against Ellis's super duper PC, gaming PC upstairs, I think it'd crash, absolutely trash it. I think it'd get nowhere near.
I mean, probably except for graphics, like graphics card performance.
Yeah, no. I'm desperate to have something on it that's going to push it, but it's, and it's just silent. There's no vents on it. There's no whirring. There's absolutely, you touch it, like the old Mac Minis out in the office, you touch them and they're still pretty quiet, but you know they're on. This thing's just, and it doesn't even get hot. It's freezing cold.
Compared to my Intel Core i9, that is basically that the fan doesn't stop. It's just hot all the time. Yeah. And it's not doing anything. It's not even that I'm using it.
Yeah, no.
So, yeah.
It's unbelievable. So my recommendation, my cool thing this week is absolutely going to be my new Mac Mini. And if you're umming and ahhing about what to get, the M1 chips. I mean, the way I've just seen it is I've got this M1 Mac Mini, but every M1 chip after this is just worth having. Don't even debate it. Don't think about it. Don't second guess yourself. Buy it. It's the best thing you'll ever do.
Maybe wait 2 weeks. There might be a new Mac Mini coming in the next couple of weeks.
Well, they're talking about like super thin and like an acetate top, and well, I suppose it's probably true because I've just bought this. So,
I mean, yeah, that checks out.
Yeah. mean, that other machine is the Pro machine with more ports and stuff. So, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, that is a negative with it. I've had to buy a £45 lead so that my Apple Thunderbolt display works on it, which really pissed me off. And I bought a USB-C dock for it that gives me extra ports and that kind of thing. I plugged that in and then it's like, oh, it's dead as a doornail. What the hell's it? It's broken. And then I realized I had to power it off the other USB-C. So it automatically eats up the other USB-C port unless I buy an external power source for it. And the thing that gets me is I've got this USB-C adapter that's got loads and loads of ports on it, including VGA.
Okay.
Really?
Wow.
Kid you not. Look, there you go. Wow. 40 quid's worth of port, and it's got a VGA port on it.
We're going to take
2000. We're going to take a 2021 space age device and stick 1995 connectivity on it.
Yeah, it's not even DVI. It's not even digital. No, it's DVI port.
Well, DVI is good quality. I could have lived with that, but it's got an HDMI ear, and then it's got. I don't know if there's any. I mean, I've projectors and stuff like that. Now I'll go around the training rooms and things like that, and I don't see projectors that are VGA anymore. They're all HDMI.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Which dock is that? Yeah.
Which dock? This is. Yeah.
Well, that explains it right there.
It's four. Yeah. I haven't even got the box.
Is that the brand name?
No, I don't know what it is. It doesn't. It's not stamped on it.
Okay.
I'll find you the link, Chuck. But
I don't want one. Is for the VGA port. But...
Maybe someone out there wants one. Like they're looking for one with VGA.
You can have this one. I don't even know if it works yet. I haven't had any external power to it, so. Just
funny.
Anker's bringing out some USB-C chargers. They look really nice. They've got I saw that the other day. They've got I can't remember what they called it. I want to say hydride or something like that, lithium hydride. So I don't know if they store a charge in it or something like that. Chuck has burned Ewan, thanks. I'll find out what the make of this thing is, but I don't even know if it works, so it's, who knows. But well done, Apple. Seriously good time. Apple in the... Because don't forget, it wouldn't be the Mac Show unless we actually did find something that Apple gouged you for ridiculously. So first story today is that AirTag has been given some Hermes characters, Hermes carriers, that are available from the Apple Store to put your AirTags into. So this is your $29 device that you've got. These are leather tag straps. Let's not big it up too far. That hold your AirTag. And there's a key ring, a bag charm, and there's a luggage tag. Okay. They're only just big enough for your AirPad, and you get that. It doesn't even say whether the AirTag actually comes with it or not.
It does not.
It does not. I didn't think it would. the Hermes bag charm, $299. The key ring, $349. And with a round of applause for this, and this beats $400 wheels to go on your Mac Pro, the AirTag Hermes luggage tag is $449.
So throw in an extra 150 quid and you've got yourself one of the most powerful consumer machines on the market. Mm-hmm. Or you could have a key ring.
Bravo, Cal. You've just put that into entire perspective. Yeah, there we go. I'm cruising about on the Apple site, and I thought about buying a computer, and I thought, no, for the same money, I'll buy myself an AirTag holder.
Yeah. I mean, to be
not
fair,
even the AirTag, just the holder for it.
Just the holder, yeah. No, that's right.
Excellent.
It is completely ridiculous, but to be fair, I mean, any Hermes product is, like, the Apple Watch strap, right? That's, what is that, like 1,500 quid or something without the Apple Watch, or with the Apple Watch even?
Stupid.
Yeah. That's their market. It's for people that have exactly too much money, and for them, 450 quid is they found that somewhere on the sofa.
Yeah, the one that's the bag tag. That's for someone who's already got a chihuahua as a bag tag, and they'll take the chihuahua off and put that on instead.
Yeah. I mean, it, as I said, it's a complete ridiculous waste of money.
Bravo, well
People
said.
Do buy it.
And you're a woman. You'd look at that and go, wow, I want that.
I mean, I'll buy a bag that's expensive for sure. But I'm not in the market for that. But as I said, I'm like, there is a certain segment of people out there, for them, if it's not Hermes, they're not buying it.
Yeah.
Or Louis Vuitton, or like one of the others.
What I want to know is, you're going to take that much money and you're going to put it on the outside of your bag where anybody can take it. You know, I mean, if the AirTag goes inside, why would you do this?
To be fair, though, Chuck, if they've got that on their bag, the bag's probably worth an awful lot more.
Oh yeah, and I mean, they're not interacting with normal people usually. So,
yeah, these are the people that hang out on Rodeo Boulevard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they show up in a like really expensive limousine with a driver. The shopping center gets shut down for them. Like that's the kind of people that would buy that. So nobody gets close to
which you got to say then. Why do you need an AirTag? Because you'd never lose it.
And you need something to stick in your little Hermes tag.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah. Oh
no! I pull out my iPhone. Oh no! I left it on the other jet.
Yeah, that's probably what it's for. Like, or I left it at the Louis Vuitton store somewhere. Like,
yeah. Or if you lose the bag and everything, and with it, you just go and buy more because you know money's no object.
Now I go on enough shows that I can't remember what I've learned on various shows. So I can't remember.
You will on this one, mate, because you learned nothing.
Oh, it's probably this one.
No, you don't learn anything on this show.
Oh, right. So it wasn't this one. But I was on a podcast where we were talking about the Hermes tags, and someone pointed out that as insane as the prices are, what makes it more insane is these are the budget price tags, and that there's this whole market for that type of tag where they cost insane amounts of money, and so compared to all of those, Apple is actually selling budget luxury tags. That's absolutely insane.
Yeah, the ones with diamonds on it and so on, they're probably more expensive.
We want it to be affordable for our customers. Next thing then, the UNP UPnP application, extreme application on the App Store has got, I mean, I've got to say, hats off to this, whoever the developer is for this. when the app starts, it won't let you use it unless you give it a 3-star review or better. So, it's, and there's a video from Costa L. F. Theriou, I'm guessing he's Greek or Greek descent, and he shows how it works. And actually, I was looking at the sequence of how he taps the screen. So when it comes up, the not now button doesn't work. And it looks like you've just got a registering issue so that, that it's not lined up with your finger. And he taps and taps around. And when you tap the 1-star, it won't do anything. The 2-star won't do anything. And then when you tap the 3-star, you get the submit button. But then it won't let you go back and tap the 2-star and the 1-star. Mm-hmm. They become dead again.
No, they were dead to begin with.
Yeah. So then it only lets you hit 3, 4, and 5, and then the submit mm-hmm. button comes on. But if you also then, when you click the cancel button, it won't let you cancel.
Mm-hmm.
It's brilliantly done. I've got to say, I'm quite impressed by you if I did this.
We need to start doing this with Macs.
Yeah,
this would be great. Actually not... No, you can't have your MacBook back until we get a 5-star review of you.
Yeah.
It's actually, I mean, a lot of developers on Twitter were thinking, I mean, this must be impossible, but someone sent out like how to do it, and it's actually super easy.
Yeah, no. But
I mean, that is something on Apple. They shouldn't allow that to happen. Someone basically put another view on top of it and just like only lets the tabs through on certain areas.
Yeah.
It's super smart if you think about it, but yeah. I mean,
I'm smart for the wrong reason. No, I just looked at it and I thought, wow, hats off, man. You have done a cracking job there of stitching everyone up. I think they should have let it stay in the App Store just because he was the first and then said, right, now you can't do it anymore.
Yeah. The problem was the entire app was scammy. Like, it wasn't that they were, like, it was a legitimate-ish app. And then, like, once you gave the review, you could use it. The entire app was a scam. Like, it was making millions for basically nothing.
Yeah.
It was scamming people. And that's the problem.
Why don't we have an app like that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe set up a throwaway developer account, make the scam app, make millions of dollars off of it. It gets shut down. We lose the throwaway account, and we can all go buy Hermes tags.
You can have our yacht in Birmingham.
Yeah,
and a Hermes tag for it. Yeah,
yeah. We'll make so much money if you can afford Hermes tags, the cheap ones though.
Yeah. Big question is, how did that go through App Preview?
Well,
like anybody who launched that app should have noticed right away.
Do you think it got reviewed and it got passed without even launching the app?
I don't know. Like, that's the question for Apple. Like, I mean,
how did this get through? Yeah, absolutely.
How did this get through? I mean, either someone put like a switch in and it was only enabled later. I mean, that's possible. Even then, like.
No, it shouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
No, it shouldn't have happened.
Someone hasn't done their job properly there. Mm-hmm. Someone needs a kick in, definitely.
Yeah. I mean, we know some apps make it through the review. Some apps, like, I mean, if you know enough about the review process, you can probably get an app through. Like, we've seen enough examples where things like either like researchers that manage to get something through review and then change it later. Like, there are ways to do this.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, nothing is perfect, so I understand it. But in this case, I'm like, that's still a black eye for Apple.
Yeah, it's not good. Not good.
Especially in the current climate where like everything's under scrutiny anyway.
Yeah. Someone needs to go down to the basement and have electrodes stuck on the testicles, definitely. Or other parts, of course. The combined HomePod and Apple TV device remains in early development, according to Bloomberg. Mark Gurman says that there is, and they've done a couple of mock-ups here, of a junk but loud speaker that's got a screen on it with a kid with an afro on. And then the other one's priceless. They've taken a Sunflower Mac and iMac, and they've put just like a gauze texture over the very base of it, so that it looks like it's a speaker with a screen attached, which is great. But I mean, I looked at this and I was kind of like, I don't get that. If you're talking about trying to compete with an Echo Show, I wouldn't have thought Apple would have been happy about what they were getting from that, because the Echo shows that we've got, it's, the audio on them is incredible, but the screens are okay. They will play content and you can stream content to them, but it's too small for it to be functional as a thing to watch at the breakfast table or that kind of stuff. So I just don't think it's a viable product.
I mean,
so as well with the Echo shows, I've got one, the quite an awkward shape as well. So for the size of the screen, what you'd really want to do, you'd want to hold it like an iPad, but because it's branded at the back to get the good sound quality, you don't get any, you can't sit there and hold it because you'd be there with two hands holding it right in front of your face.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine they'd be going down the Echo show route. It'd be much bigger.
I don't know. I mean, to be honest, I'm pretty sure Apple has every shape or form of audio device they can in their labs. I mean, because others have done it. It's, I mean, even if others hadn't done it, I would guess that Apple would give it a try. But I mean, because others have done it, Apple would probably like look at it and say, "Is this a viable thing? Like, can we? No. Is this something people want? Can we make it work?"
No, I think that's a good point there, because the when we had the Apple TV, there was a point that Dot made. I guarantee you there was an Apple TV. Mm-hmm. It just never was going to go into production. It was just let's try, let's play, let's do. And then, okay, quash it, it's done. And there's probably a device that is HomePod, come Echo Show-esque type device. But whether they can make it, and the thing is, they've got to make it at a reasonable price that people are going to buy it outside of the Hermes set. So then it's got to make a certain price point. And if it's going to make a certain price point, it has to make a certain profit margin. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, Apple aren't interested in it, are they?
Yeah. And I mean, there is, I would say, a segment of people, I mean, me included, that use their iPads in the kitchen, that put it on the table to like
100%.
Watch. Yeah. So as I said, there is probably a market for it to do it. I mean, if they can make it work from a technical perspective and from a money, like from a business perspective, like can it make enough money that it's worth it?
Yeah.
And worth it for Apple is a pretty high bar, because I mean, they're selling billions of millions of iPhones every year.
Yeah.
So if it's only selling 100 devices, it's not worth it.
Yeah, I think they've got to have an EBIT on profit margin on all devices, and if they there'll be a threshold for X million of units sold, as and if they don't expect to hit that, they won't make it, and if there's not the profit margin in it, they won't make it either.
Yeah, devices get killed all the time for many reasons.
Yeah,
yeah, but as I said, I think it would be an interesting device. I think there is enough of a market that if they can make something that is not HomePod priced, because I think that's too much, if they can make something that is worthwhile at, I don't know, $200, maybe $250.
Yeah.
I could see that like in my mom's kitchen, in my kitchen, something like that.
Yeah, but it's got to be hit that price point. And I think the audio stuff, they're clearly intending to go for the higher end markets, aren't they? The higher cost markets.
Yeah, but as I said, I mean, if you look at the HomePod Mini, take like a cheap iPad, stick it to a HomePod Mini, and you kind of have it.
Yeah. I've put the link to the story in the chat room. If you want to go and look at any of the pictures that we're taking the piss out of, then all you've got to do is go to britishchatnetwork.com/chat and navigate to today, which is the 28th of May, and you will see it. Jolly good.
Ewan, you haven't been here for practically forever, it feels like. And you still remember the link to the chat room. I have been subbing for you for how long now? And every single time I have to have Patrice do that part for me.
No, I've forgotten the sponsors though. But no, so I was out.
I'll give you a clue for one of them.
Yeah. I've got a prompt. No, I was talking to a friend today. Went out to see him, and I was trying to remember TSO host. I'm like, and I did it in the end, but it was just like I got a mental block. You know, the people that support us, the people that make sure we stay on the air. Apps reported limited to 5 gig of RAM in the iPad OS. So even if you buy the 16 gig version, so if you get the 1 terabyte or 2 terabyte variants of the new iPad, then you'll get 16 gig of memory in it. But even so, the apps are limited to 5 gig of RAM. And I read this story and I was kind of like, there's got to be a reason for this, but I can't think what it is. but it just feels like, why would you launch a machine that was this big and this good? Or is it just because of the fact they don't want people to have a bad experience on lesser iPads with apps that are doing that? So
both.
Oh, okay.
It's like, I mean, I think it's a limitation that will probably get removed in maybe even iOS 15.
Okay.
I mean, just remember, like, they launched that iPad without basically an OS, a new OS. So it's probably coming from the older iPads that had, I think, 8 at most, if I remember correctly. And you want a certain responsiveness of the entire experience, that you can switch from one app to another app without like the app completely reloading and starting and all of that. So I think that's where the limit comes in, that they say, okay, if we have, let's say, 8 gigabytes, 5 is the maximum so that another app can run reasonably well. And it still works.
Okay. So if you're running it first, so for dual processes. Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure that with iOS 15, they could change that and say, I don't know, the limit is 10 or something.
Yeah. I think as well, you talking about it being sort of seamless. If you've got more than one Apple product, more than one iPad you use frequently, you probably want it to be on a level that one wasn't so completely far away from the other that it became unusable in your head and stuff like that. So I think as you say, it's probably going to be fairly incremental, where they'll change bits as they go and start to tweak it up to the 16 so it can be used. But
you guys any thoughts, Jeff?
I'm inventing a crazy theory on the spot.
Go for it.
What if, in addition to what Patrice said, because I think Patrice nailed it, what if Apple has plans in iOS 15 for app multitasking? And so if you have an iPad with 16 gigs of RAM, you can have two apps side by side running simultaneously and not run out of RAM.
Yeah. I mean, good. Actually, you can do that right now.
The interesting thing is the quote in the story is saying that if they pushed it and tried to utilize more RAM, instead of getting a message, the app just completely crashes, just disappears.
Okay.
Wow.
So I don't know how much that makes it sound like it's a cock-up versus a design.
It could be a design thing. I mean, it could literally just be that the app doesn't crash. It is killed by the system. The system notices that your app is using too much RAM and simply says, well, something must be wrong. Like, I mean, the Zoom, like on a Mac, the Zoom that uses 100 gigs of RAM.
Yeah.
Like, I've had that. I mean, if maybe on iOS, they're like, I mean, instead of like slowing down the system until it's unusable and then you can't do anything about it because there's no application, like you can't go to activity monitor and just kill Zoom. We'll just kill it.
Go on.
Well, this seems to me just like one of those things that, you know, looks good for the headline and, you know, everybody gets up in arms, oh my god, you know, you're selling us something we can't use. And the fact of the matter is that, you know, this machine has been out in our hands for about a week. Yeah, I think that's right. A week, 2 weeks at most. Mm-hmm. I've lost track. And, you know, there are a lot of things that have to be updated. I feel like a lot of this machine was built for the future. And I agree. Patrice, I think, nailed it. You know, you don't want to have developers pushing things too far, you know, because then you'll start to have an iPad Pro only app. Mm-hmm. And even that, you know, if you didn't buy the 16 gig, then is that really okay to do? So I don't know. I looked at this and I thought, yeah, here we go. You know, this is going to come up and this is going to be a lot of smoke and very little fire.
Yeah. No. Well, no, I mean, it definitely does it. And no one's, I mean, the story I read, it didn't look like it was complaining about the fact. It was more just intriguing about why it did it and why it just crapped out instead of, just saying, no, there's, you know, enough, you've got enough RAM allocated already.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, showing that to a user is like, there's no use. The user can't do anything about it. It's not a Mac. That's the difference. Like, it's still an iOS device. True. So it is very different. Like it manages CPU and RAM very differently because it comes from that iOS side. And apps get killed all the time for many reasons. Like compared to, like on a Mac, like if you keep an app running, it runs in the background. Usually it gets suspended, but it's still there. On an iPad, your app can get killed at any point in time for any reason. Like if you're running out of memory, it starts killing apps.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm saying like maybe that limit is simply there, that like 5 gigabytes is the limit that they set, and anything above that gets killed.
Patrice, just to be clear, when you say killed, what you mean? Actually, just completely quit.
The process gets killed. Like it's not running anymore.
Yeah, that's what they're saying. The app is gone. If it tries to access any more memory, the OS kills it.
Yeah.
Okay.
It just, yeah, really like force quit basically.
Which I just found that's quite strange rather than just saying, you know, or just not denying it.
Well, I mean, at that point, that's an experience. I said, what can you do there? I mean, usually there's a low memory warning anyway that you get before that. But if you push it past that, I mean, like, what are you going to do? The issue is you don't know whether that was a deliberate usage of RAM or something, just a memory leak. Yeah. Like the app could just leak memory and it just continues until it reaches 5 gigabytes. At some point you have to kill it. Otherwise it's going to kill your system. So I think this is a deliberate process.
Okay.
It's not an accident.
I think it could be a cock up because the way I look at it and the way I sort of rationalize it would be, why would Apple implement something that looks like it's broken and isn't working correctly, which then could have knock-on effects of people bringing iPads back, people complaining, people saying that this isn't working correctly. I've got 16 gig and it's saying it isn't saying anything. It's just stopping working. Why would they build in a process that makes it look like it's breaking?
Because
that doesn't make any sense.
Because the problem is not exactly the opposite.
Yeah, Cal, I'm not sure. I mean, from an experience standpoint, and we're talking about an iPad, not a Mac. So, you know, you aren't going to have 5 apps open that you're working with at the same time like you do on a Mac. You're going to be focused on that frontmost app. And
no, of course.
You know, I experientially, I'd rather have the frontmost app that I'm working with right now running, and I go and find out, oh, the other app, gee, it's not running anymore. Okay, I just restarted because... The only question would become, and with an iPad, it's almost impossible to do because there's no save. The data is automatically saved in any app. So everything would be there. I just would have to restart the app.
It's important to note as well that this is a developer who was pushing it. So therefore, you're not going to see that as an experiential thing at the end because of the fact the app won't get through.
He can't
make it run, can he? So he can't bid it through the app process. Okay. It's not going to be an end user issue. Yeah.
No. That's it. I think it's really the opposite. Because if you keep it running and if you keep it pushing the RAM, then at some point on your Mac, it's going to slow down the system. It's going to slow it down more and more. And Apple gets probably more complaints than that the iPad is slow. Like I bought this $2,000 iPad Pro and it's slow as hell. That's what people are going to say. They're going to have more issues like that than if an app gets killed for some reason, because apps crash all the time.
I think the thing for me isn't the fact it's doing it. It's the way it does it. It doesn't seem as slick as Apple would normally do it.
I agree.
It doesn't It doesn't scream Apple, which tells me it might be a bit of a
problem. No, I'm fine with that. Yeah, it's a good statement.
That you're right. I would have expected. I mean, I don't think it would tell you, oh, it's ran out of RAM. It would just say, oh, something is wrong with the app, and it was quit.
Yeah. We are close to WWDC, of course. Just over 10 days now. 10 days, something like that. We've got rumors of new MacBook Pro models coming out with M1 chips and more connectivity. And also there's the keynote, no doubt, will kick it all off. Interesting, I mean, it's online this year again, so it's not going to be a face-to-face, obviously. But the only thing I was going to say was, have we seen the end of WWDC as a face-to-face now? because I think it got so out of hand with so many numbers that, and the success they've had of the last year and then probably are going to have this year, it probably has led them to believe, actually, you know, this is a better event for people if we don't have face-to-face.
We talked about that a while ago. I still believe Apple likes the face-to-face too much and the human interactions too much. That's in the DNA of the company. I mean, it's kind of a Steve Jobs thing that I think they're going to go back to like a hybrid approach where like the keynote and maybe like some labs and some stuff are like at somewhere, like might not even be San Jose. It might be at the Apple campus. Like they have a small, like a 2-day event maybe where you can go. And then after that, everything else is online. Like all the content that we're getting right now, all the developer content, the sessions, all of that is just videos and online.
Yeah. I'm part of a networking group here in Birmingham, and everyone is clamoring to get back to face-to-face meetings because it's just people are fed up now of being online. But I just, you know, there is such a good success rate with this last year, and I think it'll be real good success this year. And, I think there's a question about, and then the other thing is as well, you know, will we see Apple go back to live keynotes at any point with an audience? Because I mean, yes, they're good. Yes, they whip up fervor, but the launches that they've done the last year have been erudite, watchable, entertaining, really good quality productions.
And more flexible.
And I think they'd lose out if they went back to face-to-face.
I think they've learned that the Apple keynote, the traditional one, was centered around Steve Jobs. That was his thing because he was so good at presenting. And Apple continued that, and there is value in it. But I think they've seen that it's so flexible right now. They can do any length of session because they don't have to pay attention to it. Like if it takes 15 minutes, it takes 15 minutes. It doesn't matter because they're not inviting anybody to come anywhere for a 15-minute meeting. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
They can do an hour. They can do 2 hours. They can do however long they want. I think they're like seeing that they're targeting about an hour, which seems to be a good attention span. And they don't have to invite anybody. Nobody has to come. Nobody has to fly across the world or across the US for it. And so they can do 3 events.
I think they've lost the pressure to do the event as well, so that they don't feel like they owe a keynote to come out for a product. No, they do it.
I think those will be hybrids as well in the future. So you'll have the production part, which they stream out, but then to go along with that, they will do the mini meetings where, you know, like in their New York office, they have specific people show up and give them one-on-one or hands-on time with whatever the new thing is. They'll do the same thing in Cupertino and a couple other cities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're doing that already.
It'll be by invitation, of course.
Yeah. That's what he said.
What they're doing with, especially with like press releases. Like John Gruber has talked about it a couple of times that he went to New York to pick up one device or another.
But Patrice, I think Patrice makes an interesting point. You know, the keynote was Jobs' thing, but that was when we had Macworlds. So there was kind of an automatic audience there. And Apple got to the point that, you know, it could draw its own audience for these keynotes in the form of journalists or whatever. In fact, it became kind of a badge of honor thing if you got invited to one of those. Mm-hmm. And now, do you really need that anymore? The thing I think is going to be interesting is how the community responds around anything. Will Apple support something, or will the developer community come together at some designated time in some designated location the way it did with WWDC? Because there's a huge amount of value that happens outside of the Apple presence. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that to me is going to be the big question. Who's going to support that, and who's going to designate it and sort of say, okay, this week or this weekend or whatever in this city, that's where everybody's going to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really hope that Apple doesn't do it anymore because I mean it's an access thing. Like most developers don't have access to that because most developers can't afford $6,000 to fly to San Jose for a week.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
but I mean, even at the last face-to-face, they did stream all the sessions as well, didn't they? But you could,
and record them. But the quality has gone up so much. They're figuring out all the interactive parts, like all the labs and chats and all of that. I really hope that they go back to what they used to do, kind of, where they had those local tech talks. They would go to, I don't know, to Berlin, to London, to like certain areas and set up sessions there and have engineers there and have people there.
Yeah.
And God, about those. Those were cool.
Yeah, they were cool.
But they're probably quite expensive, though, per capita.
Yeah, but I mean, we just heard Apple spending $50 billion on WWDC every year. 50 million, not 50.
I was going to say, Christ.
Yeah, well,
it's not that good an event.
Million. But even that is a lot of money if you think about it.
Yeah, but I think the yield that returns from getting developers more excited about your OS and more excited about your feature developments for them is money well spent.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the events around it are the interesting part. It's not the content, it's the events around it.
Yeah, I take a bit of a different view with it because I'm going off something that Patrice said earlier. I think Apple being face-to-face with people is hugely part of what they do and part of their DNA. So I think it will go back to, I don't think it will go back to how it was, but I think it will go back to a certain element of it because, and the one thing that took me in my brain with it was they're probably the only tech, you know, sort of giant. You know, you've got Samsung, you've got all of these huge brands out there that still have the amount of stores they have and still have the amount of presence face-to-face that they have. Mm-hmm. You know, if you have a broken Samsung or a broken whatever, good luck finding a Samsung store or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, you just aren't going to find one. So Apple have these strings of stores everywhere, you know, and them being face-to-face is really, really important to people and being hands-on. So I think you know, a couple have mentioned it, having a hybrid of it, but I do definitely think we'll see people come back.
They just built a $16 billion worth campus centered around human interaction.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, there's an article on Mac Rumors as well suggesting that there's M2 Mac Pro models coming, and I don't believe that for a second. I think we're in the first iteration of that chip. It's going to be called the M1, or maybe there'll be an M1 Plus, but I think it's just going to be M1 with more ports. And then when there's a new evolution of the chip, they'll go to M2 or something like that. But they're definitely suggesting that there's going to be MacBook Pros on the way from this. Also, as well, are we going to second guess? Because the invites have got very heavy pictures of emojis on them, haven't they? And I don't know if that's just kind of representing the developers or whether we get the next earth-shattering development in Memoji.
there will be something. There's something every year. Since they introduced the Memoji, there has been a little improvement every year. They have actually already announced a couple of things that they're changing with iOS 15.
Hmm.
I mean, I think this is the style that Apple is going for. It has been going for, I think, 2 years ago, something like that. It's mm-hmm. just the style.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like it. It's kind of, it's playful, which is something Apple had lost for a while. It's representative. They can easily show diversity with it.
Yeah.
Which they're doing. So, yeah.
It's good. I'm looking forward to it. We might even do a live keynote show.
Okay, nice.
Of the office, but I'm going back down the office tomorrow. Everything's going out because Sharon's thrown a fit about me working on the dining room table. So we've had loads of bust ups over it. So I've even got to the point where I'm actually going to put a hook up so that I can work on the table in my van if I need to from home. I've got my Thunderbolt monitor is going to get strapped to the desk, and I've got an electrical system in the van that's all wired in already on a plug.
It's the first step towards an electric car charger, right?
It's a bit closer to the first step towards a divorce, really, if I don't. So,
a mobile Mac show, couldn't you?
Oh, I will
traveling
do
Mac show.
No, I will do a show from the van. I promise. It'll be hilarious.
A mobile Mac show.
Yeah, no, I'm going to get... No, because the thing is as well, I'm going to run a cable out of Kira's window into the back of the van. So I've got wired internet, but I will do a Mac show from the back of the van in the next couple of weeks, nice. I promise. Yeah, the good weather's coming, so I'll either be like... It'll be like the tin box in Bridge on the River Kwai, and I'll come out about 8 stone lighter at the end of the show, or it'll be one of the worst summers that we've ever had, and it'll be dripped on my head and it'll be freezing. I'll be there in a coat, so we'll find out. This podcast,
yeah, I'm fully expecting that while you're doing the show in the van, wires draped out of your house to the van, the police are going to show up at some point trying to figure out what's really going on.
Yeah, Magic Man suggesting I could do a Mac show on the road. Yes, I could, but it's just connectivity then. Whereas if I can plug a wire in here, then I might be able to do it. But I've got
okay. You can just drive around the block just to prove that you can do it, but you're always in range of your signal.
It's just a really just long really
I love that. It's a feasibility. We have to do it just because it's a feasibility study. I'll do one show where we'll be on Zoom and I'll be driving in the van whilst Chuck's recording it at his end.
No, you need a 250-mile Cat 5 cable, please.
You need a dishy. You need a dishy McDish face.
Do you need that reinforced? Yes. Yeah, that's a good point, actually, mate. I may need to. Yeah, that's about 50 million quid, please. Well, Apple said they'd pay for it.
Prices of a keynote bargain.
The sponsors of this show, the people that you need to support are tsohosts.com and iMinMax. TSO Hosts are brilliant. They have really looked after us over the years that we've been with them. Sarah, who owns them, is the chief executive there, has been a good friend of the podcast for a very long time. And we are entirely indebted to them being on the airways with the bandwidth that we consume, we wouldn't be able to afford. And while we're talking about affording, I really must put a shout out for Carl Swagger. He does the Daily Show, the new show every single day from the Philippines. Perfect timing because America goes to sleep. He gathers the news and it hits your feeds on the breakfast table for the commute to work. It is absolutely essential listening. It is a brilliant, brilliant show. We pay Carl to do that through donations from you. And without donations from you, we simply don't exist. So we don't want to have to go behind a paywall, but we might have to if we don't get any more donations for Carl. If everybody that listened to this show gave us $5 a month, we could do this for a living. It would be simple as that. So, you know, please, if you value the entertainment that we give you, even when I'm not here, then please just give us $5 a month. Put it into the fund. Don't go to Patreon because they take more money and PayPal take money as well on top of that. Whereas if you just put it straight into our PayPal account, every penny gets paid on the network. We don't spend it on beer. It doesn't go towards the bash. It is absolutely 100% for the quality of the stuff that you get on the network. So please support Kyle if you can. The subscribe buttons all over the network, so you feel free to use those. TSO Hosts, give them a shout out on Twitter. They don't want you to necessarily buy your stuff from them, although you do get your 20% off through BTN20 as your offer code. But get yourself out on the socials and thank them. Say thanks at TSO Hosts for supporting at British Tech. And in the same message, make sure you add in at iMenMax for supporting British Tech as well, because they support us. They give us a presenter every week and they give us great deals to all the listeners. 5% off if you want anything fixed. I've just seen, have you got Magic Man's iPad at the minute?
We do, yeah. We do.
I didn't know about that. I'll have to put that one
in. I'm sure you will know about it. Don't worry. We're very on top with our referrals.
Good man. If you've got anything that's wrong with anything that's got an Apple logo on it, you can send it to Cal and David and Will and Mo and Francis and Joe, and they will fix it. Send it back to you. Yeah. And if they can't fix it, they might charge you. Simple as that. And they do data recovery as well as, and they're a spangly bunch. So do support them. Again, because they support us, and give them a shout out on the net if you possibly can as well. Have we got any machines of the week or special deals at the moment, Cal?
No.
That's a simple answer then.
Yeah, we've been so busy, and as soon as you started doing the sponsors, I thought, oh yeah, the machine of the week. I forgot we did that. We've got a lot of 21.5-inch Max in at the moment from 2014, so they will still go to Big Sur. They'll all have SSDs in. What I would say is, if you are after a bargain, we are going to revamp our refurbished section on iMed Max over the next couple of weeks and make sure everything we've actually got goes on there. So it's going to be same day dispatch and that sort of thing. So keep an eye out on there over the next couple of weeks, and everything we've got will be on there. I believe we're going to implement a system where you can basically customize your Mac. So I want this Mac, I want this drive, I want this RAM, and we'll kind of configure it all to your needs and then ship it out to you. And you get the 5% off as well with us.
Particularly if you're looking for, I mean, because you're going to be coming up to September soon, kids going back to school, want a machine for school, maybe if they're in the, you know, sort of year 11, that kind of thing. So it's perfect timing, isn't it, to go out there and just see what Cal and the chaps have got up at iMed Max. I think you're going to offer up the... Have you got a machine of the week? Yeah, I've got a slightly used iPad Pro from Hertfordshire.
I'll tell you what, every single time we get a job in from BTN, I'm going to use it as the machine of the week and really terrify someone.
You just sold it on. Right, cool thing. Jeffrey, start us off.
All right.
Stick it in the chat room as well, please, boys.
Yep, dropping the link into the chat room now. Okay, so build up to today's. I have talked about this DAC before. This is the Audio Engine D1, and it's pretty nice. And since so many people are now very interested in high-res audio for their Mac, this is my pick for this week. This is the Modi 3 Plus from, I'm not sure what the real pronunciation for the company's name is. It's either Shit.
I was just sat there thinking, I'm not very good at languages, but that looks like a word.
Yeah, it could be a Dutch sheet.
Okay, let's go with sheet. So this DAC, it has USB in, and if you need external power, it's powered over USB, optical in, coax in, and then RCA out. And this one goes at least 24-bit 192 kilohertz. It actually goes higher than that, and it'll do it all over USB. So if you want an all-in-one box where you don't have to have special
USB 3
hookups, then it just goes over over USB. And it comes with a USB A to micro USB cable, and compared to the D1, this one, if you're going over USB, it goes up to 24 bit 192 kilohertz, but down samples to 98, 94, 96, whatever it is in there. I need another T. Anyhow, you have to go optical to get up to 192 kilohertz.
What's the latency like on it? You noticed any lag or anything on video?
I'm not seeing any lag at all. And you can pick up the Modi 3 Plus for $99.
Okay.
If you order it through their website, excuse me, it's cheaper than buying it through Amazon.
Nice. Cool. Yeah. Good pick, mate. Yeah, like
it's
that.
Really nice.
So are we starting on a trend of spending money today or saving money today? Chuck, what's your cool thing?
I'm going to spend a little money, but I think you're going to like it. I'm going to recommend the new version of Walter Pro. This is a piece of software that will take pretty much any file and convert it to something that your iPad can use. If you're moving TV shows or music over to your iPad, this is phenomenal. It'll take a FLAC file, since Jeff was bringing up lossless. It'll take FLAC files and convert them over into something that your iPad can recognize and play and not necessarily lose a lot. I mean, we're not going to get into the whole lossless discussion here. We'll be here for an hour. But at the end of the day, I mean, this will take an MKV, a .MOV, this will, any any video format you want, it'll fire it over to your iPad. I've been using the prior version of this for a couple years. I just got the new version about 2 weeks ago, and it adds some nice new things. For one thing, it will convert to a folder. So if I want to take a movie and have it converted to an iPad format or a different format, before I would have to obviously send it straight over to the iPad. Now I can send it to a folder for use later by either the iPad or something else. My perception is too that it's actually become faster as well, but that may have to do with the USB-C connection to my new iPad. But definitely, this is one of those things in your toolkit that just it works every time. I have had zero problems with it, and I can't recommend it highly enough.
You've just cost me some money, Chuck.
Oh, good. Welcome back, Cal.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah,
there we go.
But that you're talking about the specialist end of conversion here, because if you've got basic files, things like VLC will do a basic conversion, but you're talking about the fact that it'll do it from like you said, lossless right the way through.
Right,
We're having a lot of customers coming in, and I think it's a testament to how good the iPads are getting. Basically saying, I've got an old Mac, I want all my stuff off of it onto my iPad. And we don't get loads of issues, but we get some issues with, you know, certain types of files where it doesn't work on my iPad. So, okay. But that potentially solves that problem. So thank you, Chuck.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm happy to help iMin Max any way I can.
If only it was on setup. Why is it not on setup? It's not on set.
Good question.
What is it not on set?
It's not on set. It's not fair.
It's not
sorry, on set. I did not pick a set app application. Sorry.
No. It's like the fact that we've come to this point now where it's just de rigueur. What is it on set app? No, okay. I'm not interested.
What app? I'm not interested in.
We can't be the only ones doing this. Patrice, what's your cool thing?
My cool thing is an app that a lot of people probably have forgotten about. I was sitting at my nail lady, and like the radio was running, and there was a song, and we didn't know what it was. And stupid me, I had forgotten that you can actually just ask Siri, or it's integrated in iOS. So I downloaded the Shazam app, and I was surprised. It's actually a really good app. I don't think I have used it in, I don't know, 5 years at least. It's integrated. I mean, Apple bought it, so that's why it's integrated into iOS, but it's still available for Android, and it's actually integrated into Apple Music. So you can Shazam something and add it to like a playlist and stuff like that. You get a lot of information about the song as well. Like it's actually, as I said, surprisingly good for a free app that Apple just offers and never talks about. So I would say it's rare nowadays that you don't know what the song is, because usually it's like you're playing it off, I don't know, Spotify or something. You could just ask, what's that song? It will tell you what it is. But it does happen. And as I said, it's a really nice app. So highly recommend it.
Excellent. Good pick. Cal, what have you got for us?
So my pick this week is a pair of wireless earbuds, and I brought them 2 or 3 weeks ago now, and they're really good. So obviously I had the AirPods Pro, bloody hell, words, and I wanted something that I could use at my desk to do Zooms at work. And I found these. They were on offer. They had £8 off. They got £10 off now. And I was really surprised with them. With the battery life, they're really comfortable. And for the money, the sound quality is really, really good as well. So if you're looking for a sort of cheapish pair of truly wireless earphones, I wouldn't look much further than these. They're really, really good.
Nice. Okay. Good one. My cool thing, and this is going to sound really silly, but it's actually really good. Is a mouse mat. Now, I haven't used a mouse mat since 2010. No, there's a Hi Hu Hen, I pronounced that wrong, I know, gaming mouse on Amazon. The thing that's nice about it is I wanted a big mouse, because I've in the van where I do want to do some work while I'm on the road with a little generator and stuff. I've built my desk up, but the problem with when you put a mouse down on top of MDF, it doesn't necessarily track very well. So I wanted a decent mouse mat to put onto the thing, and I wanted something that was decent in size. This thing is 600 mil long and 300 millimeters wide, so it coats the whole side of the desk in the van, and I'm so impressed with it. I bought three of them. It's got a rubberized base to it. It is absolutely super gorgeous. The quality on it is fantastic. The mouse tracks on it absolutely beautifully, and it is £7.97, so it's not a bank breaker either. So if you're in for a mouse mat, there you go. It's a bit niche, I grant you, but it fitted my niche.
Also currently unavailable.
Oh no!
Just because you and bought them all.
I own three of them now. Yeah. No, it's available. All three.
Okay.
No, it's available in the UK.
Okay, maybe it's just for me then.
And it's only £6.97 now. It's come down in price since I bought it. Well, there's the thing.
I still use a mouse mat.
Yeah, no, I love mouse mats. I got a Lebaro.
I've got one with one of those wrist supports that are really, really good.
They even have a bigger one, 90 by 40 for $9.97.
They've got a bigger one?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
For like £3 more.
I wish I bought the bigger one now.
You can still do it.
You can, and just click that button.
It's only £7.
Yeah.
It's like a 90.
You own a yacht. You can afford a barge.
Birmingham yacht, a barge. There we go. Come aboard my Birmingham yacht. There's the title. Where can we get a hold of you, Jeff?
How about Jay Gamut on Twitter and Instagram, and now also on YouTube, youtube.com/JayGamut. I have videos awesome. Out.
Good luck.
And Thursdays on The Big Show, here on Fridays on The Max Show. Most Tuesdays, because Chuck still keeps letting me on Mac Voices Live. And occasionally, like last night, I was on In Touch with iOS and other shows too. So
cool.
Yeah, I think next week I will be on Mac OS Ken.
You are the original podcast whore though, mate. It's quicker to list the podcast that you aren't on.
Oh yeah. What have I not been on?
No, let's not do that. Because one of the shows will be ours. Chuck, where would you be?
On socials, I'm at Chuck Joyner. For everything I do, you can see it at MacVoices.com. You can hear it at MacVoices.com. And Tuesday nights, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern time, we do Mac Voices Live on YouTube at youtube.com/MacVoicesTV.
I was going to say, I'd love to come along, but it's 1 a.m.
Yeah, sorry. It's that whole time zone thing.
Yeah, I know. God, who invented circular planets? Jesus.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't Jesus. Go on.
Well, it was his dad.
Allegedly.
Patrice, where would you be?
Well, every week here on The Mac Show and also Thursdays on The Big Show. Everything I'm doing, all the social media links, and if you want to buy me a coffee and all of that, you can find on thepatrice.com. And my podcast is The Foodie Flashback at foodieflashback.com, where I talk to very interesting people about food and anything that comes with it. And I just posted a new episode with Mike Rose, the other podcast whore, I would say. Like, he's everywhere.
He's not on here. He used to be on here, didn't he? But he's not come on for a while.
We should ask him probably. He's working, so yeah.
Yes, Magic Man's just reminded me to give a shout out to the photo show, because the photo show is back in its panel form, not the Ewan ranting and talking shite form. So Ian, landscape photographer from Cornwall, Damo, published photographer on the... But if you watch the BBC weather, you'll see Damo every day, and Dodzy as well from Switzerland, with Magic Man, who is the ballast of the technical knowledge there from what I've worked out. And I don't mean that unkindly, he knows that. And the four of them are doing the show again, so you can get it on all of the feeds. The photo show is there. I am on one of the episodes, but as the guest again. See, I come as a guest on my own bloody shows. But yeah, you should listen to it, definitely. I forgot all about the photo show. Sorry, Magic Man. I didn't know if you'd done one for the last couple of weeks. And Cal, where would you be? Have we done you? We haven't done you.
You can find us and everything we do at immmax.com. You can get us on all the socials at immmax and also at Fix My Broken Mac as well, if you have a look what they've been doing. Obviously, we're all together now, but have a look what they've been doing previously. You can get hold of me on Twitter at O'Hara Callum. I'm in the Slack room. You can drop us an email. You can get in touch with us, ask any questions. If you need any work doing, need any advice, we're more than happy to help.
Brilliant, mate. Thank you very much. My name's Ewan Rankin. Get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. You can follow the network at British Tech on Twitter and also BritishTechNetwork.com. Loads of stuff happening. We are going to get back to doing shows. I'm eased off with work now, so I'll be doing more and more and more as we go back to it. So enjoy. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the good weather that I think there's going to be. Don't get too sweating, hot and sweating in your van. And then we'll see you all next week. Thanks for listening. Stop.